Hello, I'm Alison Green from Mackerel Solicitors and I head the Family and Relationship team. And with me today I have Geeta Patel, who's a Senior Chartered Legal Executive, and also Melissa Doherty, who is an associate in the team. So we thought today that we might talk about children and their movement, both domestically within the UK and also internationally, given that it's holiday season and there are various issues that arise, particularly when a relationship has broken down, in terms of children being moved around the country or overseas when parents are not together. So if we look at the domestic position first, by way of example, Melissa and I are working on a case at the moment where the mum has decided to move back to the area where her family are from. It's probably about 40 minutes from where what was the family home actually exists. And so she's moved with the children to a property owned by her family, and that's all fine, and there isn't really anything that the father can do about that. However, the issue, as Melissa will talk about, is the fact that the children at the moment are continuing to go to school in the place where they were originally based.
Yes, so now that the mother has decided to move with the children, there's an obvious commuting issue. There is an issue with where the children currently are schooled and where they're living with the mother. So our client had to make an application for a specific issue order so that she had permission from the court to move the children's school to the location that they're now living with the mother. And obviously the father is opposing that, which is meaning that there is an overall dispute over where the children will be schooled, and then as a consequence of that, what the appropriate child arrangements will be. So, you know, generally, with these relocation type of issues, whether it's domestic or international, it's going to have a very obvious impact on what the child arrangements are with the mother and the father and the children.
Well, and I also think in some situations, particularly if the move between the parents is a long way apart within England, the considerations as to whether or not the court will allow that are the same as whether they're international.
Yeah.
But equally, in this case, because the move isn't that far, there's no relocation issue. It's simply an issue of where the children go to school.
True. Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose the further you go, the more of an overall issue it is for obviously both the parents, but also the court. So if you're going many miles away, then the court will have to look as to whether that's in the best interest of the children with a closer eye than if it's a little bit closer.
Yeah, and we've had cases in the past where, for example, a parent has wanted to move a long way north, and the considerations that have to be looked at are the same, as I say, as to whether they're a long way away or international. So you look at schooling, what links they've got to the area, whether the parent who's moving can get work, where they'll live. So a whole plethora of things to actually think about.
Yeah.
Whereas in this particular case, none of that is being considered. The issue is where the children are going to school.
Yeah, it's very holistic view of all of it. And I think one thing that often crops up is one parent has got an amazing job opportunity somewhere new, and they need to go, and you know, as a result of that job opportunity, they're making a lot more money, they're able to perhaps put their children in private education and offer their children, you know, arguably much better life, but as a result of their employment they need to be somewhere else. So that often precipitates these sorts of applications as well.
And I think most parents that separate don't appreciate that they can't just up sticks with their children and move wherever they like, whether that be in the UK or overseas, which is more commonly where we end up with the litigation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's correct. We have a lot of international cases these days where one parent believes that wants to bring their children across to especially England or Wales, where we have jurisdiction, without the consent of the other parent, and that brings up a lot of litigation, as Alison has said, often because a parent hasn't taken consent from the other party, and ultimately has abducted or kidnapped a child in the court's view, a application can be made to the High Court for an inherent jurisdiction case in which the court would determine whether the child or the children should be residing in England and Wales, where the courts here have jurisdiction. Alison and I and the team here have worked on a few cases here at Macwell over the last few years where we've dealt with inherent jurisdiction cases at the Royal Courts of Justice, where a High Court judge would look at the various elements of the case, particularly being in where the child has been habitually resident, what links they have here with the UK. But often there are cases where the courts, the clean cuts, the court will know that, you know, unfortunately, despite one parent wanting to come here, they need to ensure that A, they have consent or a court order from the country where they've come from, allowing them to bring their child across here, but also to ensure that the child has that relationship with that other parent, because that's what's getting lost, is that relationship, especially when they're thousands of miles away. It's not like they can go and see mum and dad around the corner every other weekend. These are now situations where dad or mum sees their child or children every few months, you know, for, and so that relationship has now disappeared. And that's what the court needs to make a determination of. Now, when the child gets a bit more older, the courts do take the child's welfare and wishes and feelings into consideration. And that's where the situation gets a bit tricky, because despite the fact that a parent has come here without a consent and without any sort of connection to the UK, the court's paramount welfare conditions are is what is in the child's best interest. And that's where it becomes a bit tricky here, especially what the court's determination about a judgment should take place.
It is interesting, because talking about inherent jurisdiction, there are cases where literally it is just a straightforward return, because it's under the Hague Convention. So there are a lot of countries that have signed up to what's called the Hague Convention. So if a child is taken out of a country without the consent of the other parent, there's an automatic right of return. But then there are a number of countries around the world, particularly in the Middle East, where actually the Hague Convention they haven't signed up to, and then it comes within the inherent jurisdiction of the High Court in London to determine whether they return the child.
Cases like this, it's quite good for these cases to be heard quite quickly, because a determination needs to be made quite quickly. You don't want it to be left quite long, and then that child has now had some sort of connection here in the UK, which then makes it a bit more difficult to then argue that there's no habitual residence here.
I think as well, one of the things, a useful way to start thinking about this, you know, if you come up, if you have any of these sorts of issues or scenarios or thoughts or plans, is that the court is always interested in preserving the relationship between the children of both of their parents. And that's why, you know, it becomes an issue, particularly domestically, when you're going far enough that it's going to have a significant impact on the time that they spend with one or other parent, because the court, as a starting point, thinks that it's important for a child to have, you know, a close and loving relationship with both of its parents. And if that's been happening historically, it's not necessarily in the best interest of a child for that to just completely change. So obviously, if you're just moving around the corner on separation and you can still see both of your parents, and the child can still see both of their parents relatively easily, it's not going to be a problem. But as soon as it then starts impacting one or other relationship, usually somebody's not happy or not consenting, and that's when the court needs to get involved.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and obviously that's just on an even larger scale internationally.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, internationally, you also get situations where actually parents in the UK want to move overseas, want to take the child overseas, and again, without the permission of the other parent, they need to get a court order enabled to do that. So I think the moral of the story generally is, if you want to move in any way, shape or form a child where you no longer live with the other parent, then you really need to seek advice as to whether or not you can do that, because otherwise you could find yourself in extremely costly and potentially lengthy litigation.
Yeah, and I think this sort of takeaway point would be that if you are looking to take the child away from what their normal reality has been, you're going to have to, you know, prove either to the parent or to the court that what's waiting for them on the other side is absolutely in their best interest.
But also to prove to the court and the parent yeah. that that relationship will still be maintained with that parent whom the child is no longer living in full-time care.
In some way, shape yeah. or form, yeah. yeah. yeah.
So if you want any other further information or you have any questions and there's anything we can assist you with, then please do contact us. You'll find details on our website, which is mackerel.com. And if you go to the family and relationship page, you'll see the contact details for all of us.
Thank you.